the humble voice of perhaps the most powerful woman of the 21st century.
We think that we have the possibility to make this great transition from conflict to democracy and development. I've been involved in politics for quite some time. I've held positions and my experience are very deep, and I think I have the capacity, the character, and the courage to institute the kinds of reform that are so desperately needed.
That's Ellen Johnson Sirleaf speaking as a presidential candidate in Liberia's Unity Party just months before she won 59% of the second round runoff vote, making her the first female elected head of state in Africa's history. Sirleaf's story is a personal triumph over violence, but it's also a political triumph over a male-dominated country where sexual violence had become the norm, civil war had ravaged the future of every Liberian. President Sirleaf won a second term of office in 2011 and is getting ready to step down. Helene Cooper is Pentagon correspondent for the New York Times and author of Madam President, The Extraordinary Journey of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. Cooper's story is a very personal one, and she tells it with a passion that speaks of her own dual Liberian and American roots, as well as it speaks of her admiration for her subject, President Sirleaf.
I was born in Liberia. I'm a dual citizen, Liberia and the United States. I grew up there, and when I was 14, there was a military coup, and my family ran away, and we came here as immigrants. We came here as refugees, and I eventually became an American citizen. But Liberia is connected to the United States
because it was a refugee nation.
Yeah, it was founded by freed American slaves who, in 1822, and my great 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 grandfather Elijah Johnson was on the first ship that sailed from New York to the west coast of Africa. They founded this country. The problem was they set up the same kind of antebellum society there that they had fled from in the American South, except now they were the privileged elites, and the rest of the Africans in Liberia became sort of the rest of the population, and they were the servants. And this two-tiered system existed for 150 years until in 1980, finally, there was a military coup with enlisted soldiers overthrowing the old guard. It plunged the country into an enormous amount of turmoil that eventually led to the civil war that began in 1989 with the now infamous Charles Taylor.
Right.
Liberia went through hell for the next 15 years, and you had child soldiers, you had women who were, 70% of the women in Liberia have gone through rape or some sort of sexual assault. Electricity was gone because the hydro plant was bombed out. There was no running water. The country was horrific.
Did the people that you grew up with experience that directly?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. During the military coup, my uncle, who at the time was Minister of Foreign Affairs, was executed on the beach by firing squad. My mom was gang raped, trying to save. In an effort, she traded herself for soldiers were after me and my younger sisters at the time when we were children. And this is one of the things that so many women in Liberia go through. Every woman in Liberia that you meet practically is a survivor of some sort, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this book on the women's movement and on Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, because the sort of the punctuation at the end of this grim story is that after 2 decades of civil war, the women who had literally been carrying this country on their backs, the market women who were still, even during the war, after being raped, would have their children of the rapists and their rapists in the forest, strap those children on their backs and go back to the sides of the road and make market and sell oranges, and they drove the economy. And they kind of realized that they were running the country anyway, and they made this power move to take political power and vote in Ellen Johnson Sirleaf in 2005, the first woman ever elected president of an African country.
What did that say to you as a Liberian, as well as what did it say to all of the people of Africa who in various nations have problems dealing with patriarchy and all those kinds of things?
As a Liberian and an American, I sort of watched the war from here, very safe. And I was horrified at the images coming over TV, the things we were seeing. And then all of a sudden, to go from that to watching my own native Liberian sisters do something like this. For the first time in my life, I felt proud of to be Liberian. I felt like I can't believe Liberia is serving as an example for somewhere, because Africa is very patriarchal. But at the end of the day, they seized power for themselves. And I think the biggest lesson I probably learned from this was that for these women, particularly women in Liberia, they decided they weren't going to wait for the men to give them power. They weren't going to wait to be handed anything. They were going to just take it themselves, and they did.
How did she escape from the violence of the civil war, and how much did she escape from it?
She has a really rich history. She was thrown in. She served in the Talbert government, and was actually the Minister of Finance at the time of the 1980 coup, and all of her other colleagues were executed on the beach by firing squad. She was not, because she was a woman, in large part. Because at the time, Liberian women, you know, there's this view that in Liberia, Liberian women were bent for raping, not for killing. There's so much weird, you know, so much extraordinary undercurrents going on there. And then she went to work for the government that had overthrown the government that she worked for, thinking that she was better off. Her rationale, she says, is that she needed to see if she could help them. But that only lasted a few months, and then she resigned, angry because of a lot of the corruption that was going on. And moved to the U.S. She ended up working for the World Bank, the IMF, the United Nations. She polished off her global bureaucratic pedigree, and then went back to Liberia to try to run for Senate, and ended up getting thrown into jail for her trouble. In a lot of ways, as I write in the book, she was thrown into a cell in 1985, right after there was an attempted coup that she had not had any part of. But she was thrown into this cell where all the men in the cell next to her were executed as she was listening. They were shot by firing squad. And then a man comes in, one of the soldiers who was holding her comes in and threatens to rape her, and somebody saves her again and steps in. And then right after that, this young Gio girl, who was 18 or 19, who had been gang raped by all of these soldiers outside, and they brought her bleeding and hysterical into the cell with Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and she was comforting her. And it's sort of in that moment, as the two of them are in this cell together and both thinking they're going to be, one has already been raped and Ellen thinking that she is about to be, it sort of ignited the flame of this women's movement, because that is one of the seminal moments in Ellen Johnson Sirleaf's life, when she realized that she is going to have to, she's going to try to do everything she can to put herself and make sure that nothing like this can happen again. It took years, because after that, then Charles Taylor took over, and there's the history is so interesting, and it's so complex. But she was like, when she was in the cell with that Gio girl, she was like 45 years old, and it's when she's 67 that she finally becomes president.
Helene, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for
having me,
John.
Congratulations on this book.
Thank you.
Terrific stuff. Helene Cooper is Pentagon correspondent for the New York Times and author of Madam President, The Extraordinary Journey of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, President of Liberia.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.